Hello, welcome to Formation. This is our weekly conversation for followers of Jesus. I'm Shannon Moore, and I'm here with my friends.
Renee Hoke.
Hi.
Kara Watts.
We've been several weeks now in this book, Bible Stories for Grown-Ups by Josh Scott, and all of the stories we've looked at so far have been Old Testament stories.
Classic
Old Testament stories that sort of are found, for those of us who grew up in the church at a certain time anyway, foundational stories that we would hear in Sunday school and Bible school and children's church and that sort of thing. Today, we are moving into a story from the New Testament, and this is from Matthew chapter 25. It's near the end of Jesus' earthly ministry. It's Holy Week. He has gone into Jerusalem and sort of given his last ditch round of teaching to everybody, and has sort of set up a warning about some devastation that is to come. Now, modern readers often read that as an end of the world
apocalypse
scenario, but we know, looking back, that not long after this, you know, that the temple was destroyed, and Jesus warned about that. And so Scott is saying that Jesus was telling his disciples, don't get involved in the violent activity. It's okay to oppose the Roman Empire, but don't find yourself involved in reactionary violence. And then he tells a series of parables. Now, what did you grow up hearing what a parable was? Did you have a little definition of a parable?
Maybe a story with questions.
Okay.
Sort of.
I heard a lot that an earthly story with a heavenly meaning.
We even had a Bible school song, and an earthly story with a heavenly meaning.
I did not get that.
Yeah. So that's how I always grew up hearing about parables. And in the way that I was taught about parables, and basically a parable is just a story that Jesus tells. He's not telling a historical fact about people who actually existed. It's like once upon a time there was a, you know, three little pigs. But the way that I was always taught to interpret, and the author talks about how no matter when you read the Bible, you're interpreting it. But the way that I was taught was to look at it very allegorically, where every character is assigned a specific role. And if there is anybody in the story that is powerful, rich, in any sense of position, that character is God, period. And then you look through the rest of the story and you can pick, you know, like the person who does the right thing is you.
Oh,
and the person who does the wrong thing is the people you don't like.
It's your enemy.
So, in this story, Jesus is sets up a story with a rich, powerful person who is going out of town, and he puts money in charge. He gives some servants money to take care of in his absence according to their gifts. And it is a lot of money. The word that typically is used in this story is the talent. We call this the parable of the talents. And a talent was a unit of weight, 80 pounds, and a unit of currency. And Scott tells us it was about that a talent was 6,000 denarii. A denarii was a day's wage. So one talent was 6,000 days' wages, 16 years of pay.
For one of these.
Okay? That's a lot.
That's a lot
of money.
And I think that's more than I remember this representing.
I mean,
that a small fortune for a sermon.
Right. And Jesus, you know, he always exaggerates in his parables, and we forget that. It's almost like he said, he had $1 billion, you know? It's
very much like that.
It's a lot of money. And so two things. We're going to take a break here in just a second, but two things before we hop into this parable. Remember how much money a denarii is, or how talent is, 16 years worth of pay. And then for those of you who may have watched or heard us last week, we talked about the story of Jonah. And at the end of that story, Jonah describes God as merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. So we're going to keep those two things in mind, and we're going to hop into this parable when we come back.
The members of University Christian Church have a message for you. You are valuable, worthy of love, and already part of what God's doing in the world. We invite you to join us on Sunday morning for worship. Traditional worship in our sanctuary at 9 and 11. Simple worship in the chapel at 9:30. Visit our 1010 service in Walker Hall. We're a church of open-minded people who value curiosity and recognize that we don't have all the answers. We strive to be open and honest about where we are on the faith journey. We seek to practice compassion and generosity. All are welcome at University Christian Church, where you can experience Christ's courageous love for yourself and learn to carry that love with you wherever you go. Explore our programs and upcoming events at www.universitychristian.org. Don't forget to stay connected with us on social media.
We're back and ready to jump into this parable of Jesus from Matthew chapter 25. I'm going to kick it off. We'll be reading from the Common English Bible. And so before the break, we talked about talents and how much that is worth 16 years. One talent is 16 years worth of wages. In this translation, it's called valuable coins. So when you hear valuable coin, that's a talent worth 16 years or so. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus says, is like a man who was leaving on a trip. He called his servants and handed his possessions over to them. To one, he gave five valuable coins or talents. To another, he gave two. And to another, he gave one. He gave to each servant according to that servant's ability. Then he left on his journey. So not unlike now, there were elite rich people in this area. 1 to 2% of those owned over half the land. And, you know, God in the Old Testament and in the law provided a way for there not to be such a gap between the rich and the poor. Do you remember what it was called?
Jubilee.
The year of Jubilee. And how, do you remember how often that was?
Every 50
years, right? Where the debts are.
Can you imagine?
Right, wouldn't that be?
So you get a do-over.
Right.
But that would have just been for the Israelites.
Right. But they weren't practicing it either.
Right.
Because there was such a...
Well, the debts being forgiven would also have to... Yeah.
Right. And so...
Right. I gotcha.
And so Jesus has this person of power throwing around a lot of money on his way out of town. And so typically that's considered the God figure. But as we continue to read this story, I invite you and us to kind of put the assumption aside and just see how the story speaks. Renee, will you read what happens next, starting in verse 20?
The one who had received five valuable coins came forward with five additional coins, and he said, "Master, you gave me five coins. Look, I've gained five more." His master replied, "Excellent. You are a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come and celebrate with me." The second servant also came forward and said, "Master, you gave me two coins. Look, I've gained two more." His master replied, "Well done. You're a good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I'll put you in charge of much. Come and celebrate with me."
Yeah, he ought to celebrate. He just got 100 years... of wages, all for him, after he comes back from this trip.
For doing nothing.
He hadn't had to do anything except trust these two people to give, to invest his money and get him a return on it. And boy, did he ever. There's one more, though. Kara, will you read what happened to the other one?
Now, the one who had received one valuable coin,
worth 16 years worth of salary,
came and said, "Master, I knew that you are a hard man. You harvest grain where you haven't sown. You gather crops where you haven't spread seed. So I was afraid, and I hid my valuable coin in the ground. Here, you have what's yours."
I could see me doing that.
I feel like I do that. Like that's,
yeah.
Like
this isn't mine. If I invest it, I may lose it. This guy is hard. Harvest grain
yeah.
that he doesn't sow. You gather crops that you haven't planted. I'm not going to lose his money.
I'm going to give it right back.
I'm going to keep it safe. Here, you can have it back.
This he is not... a little brave, though, to say that to his boss. I know, you know, you're a piece of work, and I'm not. Here, take it back.
I know how awful you are.
Oh.
So here's how the guy replied. You evil and lazy servant. You knew that I harvest grain where I haven't sown and that I gather crops where I haven't spread seed. In that case, you should have turned my money over to the banker so that when I return, you could give me what belonged to me with interest. And, you know, interest is also against God's law.
That's right.
Yeah. Therefore, take the coin, the 16 years of salary from the one, and give it to the one who has 10. Those who have much will receive more, and they will have more than they need. But as for those who don't have much, even the little bit they have will be taken away from them. Take the worthless servant, throw him out into the darkness. People will be weeping and grinding their teeth.
That's a terrible ending.
Right?
Yes, and that sentence about, if you've got some here, have some more.
Yep.
If you've got a little bit, I'm going to take that away.
What? I'm curious if you remember what the interpretation was for you when you were growing up or as a young adult, what the lesson was when you would hear this story. I have a very clear memory.
I don't remember exactly what the... I think it's you need to use the gifts that you have and you can't just hide and not use them, and that God is the one that gave you those gifts and God will throw you out to those with gnashing and grinding of teeth if you don't utilize your talents.
Right.
I think it was pretty straightforward, just like the words, and no stopping to think. Those words wouldn't be God's words.
Right.
Give more to those who already have plenty and take away what little the other people have who are suffering.
And we, somehow, the money aspect got changed in translation for us into actual talents. Of
right.
Ability.
Yes. Right.
Yeah, and so, right. And the lesson was always, you better use it or God will take it away from you. If you don't use it for God's glory, he will take it away from you. And
such threatening
messages. Remember how God was described in Jonah, slow to anger, you know, generous, the opposite of the powerful person in this parable.
Who cannot represent God.
No.
Right. There's no way.
Yeah. That,
it's more like an episode of The Apprentice.
Right. I mean, at the end where, you know, it's just adding insult to injury, like, you didn't lose anything, but you didn't make me any money. So you not only you have to go to jail, but you have to, I'm going to give that one to the one who knows what to do with it. It's like people walking by people on the street and saying, get a job. You know, just adding insult to what is already an injurious situation. So I cannot believe that Jesus is setting up this parable to represent what
that, right.
that God is at the head of that type of kingdom.
It's very corporate, don't you think? Kind of business, the business world. So maybe it didn't bother us because capitalism is just very comfortable in most churches, and that's the way the world works.
That's how we've always...
Yeah.
That's what we know.
Well, Josh Scott says that third servant who didn't invest the money, who didn't participate in, you know, the economic windfall, represents Jesus, that he refused to play a part, you know, this character refused to play a part in an economy that exploited and gave to the rich and took from the poor.
And was willing to call out
yep.
those that didn't.
Right. And I thought that was really powerful.
I had to think about it a while to get my head around it.
Does it make sense to you?
Now it does.
Now.
But I've never considered the unsuccessful servant, really, in this story.
Yeah, not the hero.
You know, to lift, but I love the point that the author makes in the book about refusing to participate and refusing to honor this assignment that came from a crooked person.
Yeah, and contextually where it falls in the story, I don't know that I've ever paid attention to the fact that this is one of Jesus' last teachings to the disciples about what is to come and the chaos that will ensue and there.
And how brave and courageous you have to be.
Right.
To
resist. Right. Yeah, to resist.
To stand up to that.
Yeah.
It's powerful.
It really is. Yeah. And it's a lot to take in, but I think, I know that I've enjoyed pondering that this week.
It's challenging.
Yeah.
And that's challenging parable to begin with.
It is.
And trying to treat the master as God.
Right.
It's awful.
It's such a typical thing for us to do. So I know it's a challenge also to anytime we look at something differently than we've always been taught. So I hope it's been a challenge for you as well, and that you will think about this parable as much as we have. How do we live? How do we treat people? How do we spend our money? That's what do we support by what we buy and that sort of thing. So we'd love to hear your comments or questions about this story or any of the other stories we've talked about. You can contact us at formation@ucccftw.com. We'd love to hear from you. And I think that's a wrap. We'll see you next time.